Amen. I've got so many reasons to rejoice. The Lord's been good to me. He's been better than I deserve. He didn't have to bring me out of darkness, but he did. And because of that, I can now walk in the marvelous light. I've got so many reasons to rejoice. Maybe you don't have much of anything else, but anybody got some joy today? Things are not like I want them to be, but I still got joy. I'm facing some situations, but I still got joy. I've got surgery Friday morning, but I still got joy. Anybody here today, say, I've still got my joy. You know, Trump is in office. He can take away a whole lot of things. But aren't you glad that Trump can't mess with your joy? Come on, come on. Aren't you glad that the world didn't give it to you? And the world can't take it away. Thank God for my joy. Thank God for my joy. Amen. Amen. There is a passage of scripture that I want to lift today from the Gospel according to St. John. The 15th chapter. Amen. St. John chapter 15. And we're going to start reading at verse number 1.
Yes, my Lord.
Amen. St. John chapter 15. Verse number 1. I am the true vine.
Yes, he is.
And my Father is the husbandman.
Yes, Lord.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Yeah.
Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye accept. Ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified,
yes, Lord,
that ye bear much fruit,
yes, Lord,
so shall ye be my disciples.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. I want to talk today from the thought, lessons from the vine.
Amen.
Lessons from the vine. The true vine. One of Jesus' seven I ams recorded in the Gospel of John. I am the true vine. What occasioned this word from the Lord? They had finished the supper and they were perhaps walking out near the Kidron Valley and vines were hanging with their branches, or perhaps they remembered the golden vines that embossed the face of Jerusalem temple, or they smelled the burning of vines after the harvest in fields strewn around the Garden of Gethsemane. But whatever the reason, I think it's a more famous one than that. It's a more profound reason than that, because Israel in the scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, Israel has always been pictured as the vine. The symbol for the nation of Israel was the vine. In Psalms 8, verses 8 through 10, and Isaiah chapter 5, there's a parable about a vine and about a vineyard, where a vine was planted and it grew and it was fruitful. And then it lost its purpose, and the vine dresser took down the head, let weeds grow in it, because the vine was not living up to its purpose. In Psalms and Isaiah, Israel is pictured as the vine, but this vine had not lived up to its intended purpose according to Jeremiah and Hosea. Therefore, God sent Jesus to be the true vine. Israel was the vine in the Old Testament, and the prophets were the husbandmen. The vine dressers who came to take care of the vines, but they killed the vine dressers. They got rid of the prophets. They got rid of the husbandmen. So Jesus now says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Israel used to be the husbandman. The prophets used to be the vine dressers, but now I am the vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that is not bearing fruit, he takes away. Every branch that is bearing fruit, he prunes it, he cuts it, he bruises it, he wounds it, he slices it, that it might bring forth more fruit. This matter of lessons from the vine teaches us that if you're going to be connected to the true vine, it's about a relationship. He says, in me, in verses 1 through 8, he says six times, in me, abide in me. If you are connected, you are in me. How does one get to be in Jesus Christ? The new verse must be for every one of us, because you cannot be connected to the vine, listen, unless to the branch, unless you are connected to Jesus Christ. The new verse must be for every one of us, because you cannot be connected to the vine as a branch if you hadn't been born again. I don't think I got that over to you. To be in church does not mean that you're in Jesus. To be in a religion does not mean to be in Jesus. To be in Jesus, you've got to be born again. Because that which is flesh is flesh, but that which is spirit is spirit. You must be born again. Wish I had a witness in here. There is no connectivity to the vine without the new birth. There is no regeneration without the new birth. You can try to be connected to Mount Moriah, but that does not connect you to Jesus Christ. That's why people can walk away when they get mad at you, is because they were connected to the church and not to Jesus Christ. You better hear me. If you're doing what you're doing for any other reason than Jesus Christ, when the storms come, when the trials hit you in the face, you will not last. Because only what you do for Christ will last. And how many know, as long as I can't got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else? Because when others walk away from me, when others give up on you, Jesus is standing right there. And won't he go all the way with you? Won't he be by your side? Won't he pick you up, not one time, but every time you fall? And I got to have Jesus, for I just can't make it by myself. Listen, you can be connected to the Baptist religion, but that does not connect you to Jesus Christ. And listen, you ought to ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, how's your connection? I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman.
Yes, Lord.
Now, Jesus being divine, we now are the branches. And as branches, we cannot produce fruit unless we are connected in relationship to the vine. Let me try to help you. Let me try to help you. I wanted to get this message over, so I asked some people who are better versed in the matters of vines than I am. I called the Botanical Gardens here in Fort Worth to do some research. so that I could intelligently proclaim this message today. And the horticulturist at the Botanic Garden explained to me what I was trying to get over in this message. He said, a vine or a tree that is engrafted with a branch has something to say about a relationship.
All right.
For instance, if you take a peach tree and graft it to an apple tree, it will grow, but it won't produce fruit. Because the peach branch and the apple tree are from different genus species.
Come on,
boy, you got your lesson today.
But
if you connect a peach branch to a plum tree, the tree will grow plums and the branch will grow peaches because they have the same nature. They're from the same genealogical family. They have the same kind of root tissue. Even though it's a peach branch on a plum tree, it will bear peaches, while the plum tree bears plums because they have the same tissue orientation. Can I help y'all today? As a branch, we've got to be connected to the vine if we're going to bear fruit. Because if we're not connected to the vine by the word, we'll grow, but we won't bear any fruit. And a whole lot of y'all are growing, but you're not bearing any fruit. And sadly, many of us in the church are connected to the vine, but not bearing fruit because we don't have the nature of the vine. Some of y'all got every other kind of nature, but the nature of the vine. You don't have no love. You don't have no understanding. You don't have no kindness. You don't have the nature of the vine. We are religious, but unsaved. We are churchy, but unredeemed. Listen, you can't beat some of y'all playing church. You know how. You're professional churches. And if you're going to bear fruit, you've got to be connected to the vine with the same nature. As a sinner, I am possessed of a sin nature. So all I know how to do outside of Christ is sin. But once I get saved, he imbues me with the divine nature that I don't have to sin if I don't want to. I willingly sin. I willingly, on my own volition, disobey God. But I've got a divine nature now that can keep me from sin. See, that's why I got to keep on coming to church asking for forgiveness. Keep on asking God to cleanse me with his word. Because when I go outside of my nature, I do things that don't please the vine. It's right here in the text. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And the only way to stay clean is you've got to abide in me. And let my word abide in you. It's about a relationship. You must be in relationship with God before you can enjoy the things of God, before you can be partakers of the spiritual, before you can enjoy fellowship with the Father. You've got to be in a relationship with him, because it's hard to enjoy fellowship with somebody you really don't know. That's why it's important for us to get to know one another outside of Sunday morning, so that we can get to know one another and foster better relationships and fellowship. And I have discovered the longer I walk with Christ, the deeper my relationship is. Wish I had a witness in here. The longer I walk with Christ, the deeper my relationship. The old folks said it another way. They said, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, if you please, daily walking with thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. How many want a closer relationship with Jesus? Then you got to walk with him. You got to talk with him. Because there are some things, listen, some things I need now that I didn't need in my 20s. Wish I had a witness in here. And the reason is I didn't have sense enough then, but I do now. Anybody like me have learned that I need the Lord every minute, every second, every hour, all through the day, every week, every month, every year, come what may. I've got to have Jesus, for I just can't make it by myself. Come on, y'all. Anybody else in here realize you can't make it by yourself, that if it had not been for the Lord, when you were stuck on stupid, the Lord was looking out for you, making ways for you. You ought to tell your neighbor, if it had not been for the Lord on my side. Oh, that was the wrong neighbor. They didn't shout. Tell the other neighbor, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Some of you in here who are in my crowd,
come on,
can help me testify to these young folk today.
That's right.
That the day is approaching when you will not be able to see as far in the distance as you once did.
Amen.
They'll have to tell you two or three times before you hear it.
That's right.
You'll go in a room and forget what you went in there for. You'll be looking for your glasses and they're already on your face trying to remember, did I take my medicine this morning? That's time and circumstance.
Amen.
Listen, you can bleach it, you can dye it, you can tuck it in, but time and circumstance is going to bring about a change. I wish I had a witness in here today. Anybody that's in my age genre can remember that time will make a change. But when the hour comes and I can't walk as fast as I used to, I need the Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to prop me up, to encourage me, to strengthen me when I'm weak. But you've got to have a relationship. What keeps you steady, what keeps you balanced in life is a strong relationship. The psalmist says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaves shall not wither, or whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's about a relationship with the vine. If you abide in him, and he abides in you. How many know God will protect you? Let me say that again. God will protect you. When they knock you down, he'll stand you up. When they try to pull the rug from under you, listen, you'll still prosper. When they're lying on you, when they're talking bad about you, when you're trying to uncover some secret stuff about you, you will still prosper. Because if you abide in him and his word abide in you, God will protect you. Is there anybody here know the Lord will protect you? Oh, come on. Anybody really know that the Lord will protect you? Won't he do it? It's about a relationship. You cannot be fruitful. You cannot be vital. You cannot be as dynamic as a Christian unless you are connected to the vine. So number one, it's about a relationship. But secondly, it's about reproduction. A vine has one distinct purpose, and that's to help produce fruit. But if you notice, the vine itself does not bear fruit. It delegates fruit bearing to the branches. The vine does not produce fruit. It produces an energizing, life-giving sap that goes out to the branches, and the branches bear fruit from the sap energized from the vines. Go ahead, boy. I don't think you got that. The vine itself is not fruit producing. It gives energy to the branches, and the branches produce fruit. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now listen to this. Look at the progression. He says from the beginning of chapter 15 to verse 8, it starts out with now fruit. No fruit. Then it goes to fruit. Then it goes to more fruit. And by the time it gets to verse 8, it's much fruit. No fruit. Fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. No fruit. Fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. That much fruit comes from the branches being pruned. Being cut, being worked on, being cut down, because the vine dressers got to cut it down to keep it from becoming top heavy and splitting the tree. And God may be working on some of you this morning to stop you from becoming top heavy. Because some of y'all get the big head and you think you're more than other folk and think you're better than other folk. So God has to prune you. Because you'll start bragging on a fruit that you didn't produce. So God's got to send you through the pruning process to make tears come from your eyes, to hurt you in the midnight hour, to humble you so that you don't get top heavy.
Come on,
I've learned as a preacher and a pastor that the more human you are, the more your people learn to love you. Because when they see you are not super spiritual and you got some issues of your own, and God has touched your life in ways to make people know that you are vulnerable, and vulnerability makes you dependent on God. And maybe the reason you can't praise God with enthusiasm is you're dependent on your job. You're depending on your stocks. You're depending on your retirement. But all it takes is a spell of sickness. All it takes is an unexpected tragedy, and all it takes, it'll slip away from you. Do I have a witness that I've learned how to lean and depend on Jesus? He's my friend and he's my God. I found out that if I trust him, he will provide. And here's what makes me shout about the pruning process, Reverend Washington. That's what's called a pruning knife. It bleeds the tree. It slices the tree, Reverend McAllister. It cuts off what's dead and non-producing. It's a pruning knife. But thank God it's in the hand of a skilled vine dresser. And if you're connected to the vine, listen, God has to prune you. And you ought to shout today because the knife is in God's hand. And aren't you glad that the knife is not in some of your church members' hands? Aren't you glad the knife is not in some of your friends' hands? Because they want to see you cry. They want to see you down. They want to remind you of your past. But thank God, God's got the knife in your hand. And you ought to tell your neighbor, God's got the knife in his hands. And he knows when to stop the process. He knows how much you can bear. He knows when to stop the pruning process because you are not producing any fruit before because your arrogance and your ambition. But when God sends a situation to humble you, to bring you down to where you should have been in the first place, to remind you that you ain't nobody. Because without him, I'm nothing. But with Christ, I can do all things. So when you know who you are, you don't give people a chance to define you. When you're in a relationship with the Lord starts the pruning process, and folk might laugh at you and talk bad about you, but they don't know that God is behind the scenes doing some things in my life to make me produce more fruit. You think I'm preaching now, wait until God prunes me. You think the choir is singing now, wait until God prunes them and gets all them hellions out the choir. You think my Mariah is blessed now, just wait until the Lord gets through pruning my Mariah. For every mountain you brought me over, for every valley you've seen me through. I wish I had a witness in here today. But you can't sing Amazing Grace until you've been forgiven. You can't sing about his goodness unless he's brought you through. You can't testify of his mercy unless you've needed some mercy. God will prune you so that you can bear more fruit, so that you can have more power in your singing, more power in your preaching, more power in your praying. And is there anybody here today that want more power? Is there anybody here today that want more mercy? Anybody here today that want more grace? Be careful what you ask for, because in order to get more, the Lord has to prune you more. I've got to leave you now, but please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. When God gets through with me, I shall come through as pure gold. Come to the Lord's house and testify that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, oh, where would I be? Is there anybody here can testify that I want more power? I want more love. I want more patience. You ought to tell the Lord, Lord, have your way. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Whatever you desire to do in this house today, have your way. Why don't you grab somebody and tell them, I want more of him. Why don't you hug somebody and tell them, I want the Lord to have his way. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes, I'll go. Yes, I will obey. Whatever you desire to do today, have your way. Is there anybody here want the Lord to have your way? Is there anybody here want more of the Lord? I dare you to tell the Lord, I'm yours. Do what you want to do. I'm yours. Send me where you want me to go. Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? Won't he prune you? Won't he make you brand new? Is there anybody here can testify? Since I met Jesus, what a wonderful change has come in my life. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? Can you say glory? Can you say glory? Glory. Hallelujah. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Whatever. Whatever you desire to do in this house, have your way. Make me. Mold me. After your will. Lord, while I'm standing wounded and still. If you're here today, maybe the Lord's been pruning you. You ask the Lord for more of this and more of that. In order to get more, the Lord has to prune you. The more you prune a tree, I wish I had some gardeners in here today. The more you prune the tree, the more fruit it bears. And in order to bear fruit, you've got to allow the Lord to prune you and make you what he would have you to be. The doors of the church are open today.